Joel and Amos will shake hands on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to Joel, but be ready to turn the page over to Amos. I've spent far more time than three chapters justify on the book of Joel, but it's one of my favorite books, and I wanted to do that. Let me show you one more thing in Joel before we move over into Amos. If you have your Bible, and this is all, by the way, a part of an Old Testament survey as we go through the entire Old Testament, looking at major passages, some notes, some handles that will help you understand the books of the Older Testament. And by the way, we do have those booklets. I'm going to tell you about the second one at the end of the broadcast, from Job to Jeremiah, and I think we may still have part one in the warehouse. They're booklets that kind of give you just a little bit of the teaching that I've given on this long series. So you can put those booklets in your Old Testament. When you read an Old Testament book, you'll have some handles that will enhance your enjoyment and your understanding of that particular book. So listen up at the end of the broadcast, and I'll tell you about that. If you have your Bible, open it to Joel 3, 14 through 16. And it reads as follows: Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. Valley of decision. Decide, decide. You find that happening all of the time. And right now, if you're listening to this broadcast, if you're not a Christian, you got to decide. If you are a Christian, you got to decide. I've been reading C.S. Lewis this week, and one of the interesting things that he said is that if one is a materialist, there is a limited danger of pain. No disaster can be infinite if death ends at all. And if this life becomes too painful, you got euthanasia. One can always commit suicide for an early escape. But he says, in contrast to that view, the Christian faith offers no such escape. It says you are going to live forever. The Christian universe has no door marked exit. He said there are only three alternatives. You can be God, you can be like God, or you can be miserable. And you have to decide. And so as you read the book of Joel, it's not just a book that you read for the fun of it. It's a book where you go through and see what God says. And if you're outside the purview of the family of God, make a decision. It's really simple. You got to know you're in trouble. You got to know that Jesus died so you won't be, and you got to go to him. That's that simple. If you're a Christian, you got to decide whether you're going to repent and stay close to him. Now, repentance is not changing. It's God's methodology of changing you. And it is the source of all joy, as we have seen. When I use the name John Calvin, you know who I'm talking about. At 27, he wrote the first edition of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His power and influence for God and for good is just beyond estimation. I now stand before you, or sit here before you, because of some of the teaching of John Calvin. However, if I mention the name Charles Calvin, you probably never heard the name. He was a drunk, lived a life of debauchery. Charles Calvin was as worthless in his life as John's life was of value. The difference is not hereditary. They were brothers. The difference isn't environment. The difference is in the choice. And then look finally at Joel 3:17 through 18. Promises not yet fulfilled for the nation of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, and water in the valley. You know, there's a great quote, and I'm gonna bring Joel to an end and begin Amos, but there's a great quote from the Chronicles of Narnia in the final one, when the unicorn in Aslan's country cries out, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now." The reason we love the old Narnia, that's the old earth, so much, is that it sometimes looks a little like this one. That's what Joel says. Someday, sometime, someplace, it's going to all get fixed. Okay, just flip over one page and you'll be at the book of Amos. And let me say a few things about it, as much time as I have today, and we'll talk more about it on Monday. My pastor will be in tomorrow and we'll answer some questions. This is a continuation of the Old Testament survey. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, there are three sections. And I've told you this before, but you didn't listen. There is the law, the prophets, and the writings. And the book of Amos is included in the section of the prophets and is one of the latter prophets, the former being Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. Now, unless you are really good with the Hebrew and read from a Hebrew Bible, you're using an English Bible. There are also three sections there, the historical books, the poetical books, and the prophetic books, which are divided into major and minor prophets. And Amos is one of the minor prophets, not minor in the sense of being inferior, but minor in the sense of being small. Now, let me say some things about this book. The name Amos means in Hebrew burden or burden bearer. Now, we're going to have more to say about that later on. And we do know a little bit about Amos. Before, we didn't know anything about Joel. I mean, nothing. There's no biographical data on Joel, but on Amos there is. He was a herdsman and the tender of sycamore trees from the small town of Tekoa, which is just 6 miles southeast of another town that is known chiefly for one who was born there, the town of Bethlehem. It was also the town of David. Now, while the exact date of Amos is not certain, we can date him generally. It says in the first verse that he spoke 2 years before the earthquake. Now, that would date it precisely, but we don't have the foggiest idea when the earthquake happened. However, Amos said that he prophesied, verse 1 again, during the reigns of Uzziah, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and Jeroboam, the second, the king of Israel. It's obvious that Amos prophesies against great wealth and affluence, and under Jeroboam, there was great wealth and affluence by the middle of his reign. So that would date the book. Listen, I'm going to test you on this. I saw you drift off. This is important material. would date the book of Amos around, well, circa 760 B.C. That makes Amos a contemporary. I don't know whether he was a friend, but he lived at the same time that Hosea and Isaiah lived. Now, Amos is not the kind of book most people read for their evening devotions. Its general theme is judgment, and the judgment is pronounced with such power and such simplicity and such forthrightness that just a cursory reading of the book will send a chill up your spine. The time in which Amos prophesied, and you'll remember that he was from the tribe of Judah and prophesied to the north, Israel, from their central place of worship, which was Bethel. It was a time of high prosperity, optimism. In other words, Amos was an uninvited guest at a party, but he refused to come to the party. Now, there are three main themes in the prophet Amos. This is from Moyer. First, crimes against humanity are abhorrent to God. they are under his judgment. Secondly, the privilege of being the people of God carries with it certain and harsh judgment because it is not sin against the light of God revealed in nature, but sin against direct revelation from God. And three, there is no distinction between crimes and sins because both are against God's law. To not pray is the same as to fail to give food. And so we're going to say some things about the important involvement of God's people. Now, in social situations and social problems of our culture. Now, if you're looking for an outline, the following will suffice. Judgment on surrounding nations and on Israel and Judah. That's the first verse of the first chapter through the 16th verse of the second chapter. Second, the indictment of the whole house of Jacob, 3:1 through 9:10. And thirdly, blessings for restored Israel, 9:11 through 15. And so, as with all of God's Word, it sometimes hurts. But if you stay with it, it always has a happy ending. You think about that. Amen. Hey, you can get part two of three booklets on this Old Testament survey that you can keep by your Bible whenever you read the Old Testament. It'll be helpful. And I'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. Part two of the booklets, there are going to be three of them. This one is Job to Jeremiah. And we may still have some part ones down in the warehouse. So if you ask, if we have some, we'll send that to you too. And it's absolutely free. If you'd like to have this booklet, just give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. When I say these are free, I really do mean that. But if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. For any contribution charged to MasterCard, Visa, Discover Card, or in your envelope, when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching The Assets of Weakness. If you feel weak, that's good, and I'll tell you why in this cassette teaching if you ask and you give a contribution. We promise to be faithful with everything you give. Hey, I gotta go, but first I need to say, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.